Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Oh dear. I'm a bit quiet this morning.
Are you? That's unusual.
I'll have to sort of wind into it. Maybe a cup of coffee will help.
There's a theme for the show. Watch out, everyone, for the coffee show. Hello, everyone. Are we recording?
I think we are. Yes. I think that was a rather slow wind in this morning as lethargy prevails.
Oh, dear. Hey, good news here. It's raining.
Yes, same here, isn't it good, at last.
Yeah, nice and cool. Well, cool is a bit of a stretch, but it's not so hot by a long chalk.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, wait till next week, there'll be another heat wave and we'll start this game all over again.
Yeah. Actually, during the night last night, it was really odd because, you know, we spoke recently about my air conditioning unit and... Mm-hmm. It's been off really since we last spoke to a large degree, but last night I woke up in the night and I was really stifling hot. It was really muggy and close and horrible. And I put it on, so between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock it was on, and I slept much better. But it was just really odd. It seemed to just descend in the night for a few hours, and then this morning it's gone again.
I'm a memory foam mattress user, which I absolutely adore and wouldn't give it up for anything. Mm. But there is one downside, which is that it collects the heat. And it's quite common for me at about sort of 3 or 4 in the morning to wake up very hot, take off my pyjamas, mm-hmm. stand in my bedroom, waving the door open and closed to let the air move around a bit, and then put myself back into bed again. Cheaper than air conditioning.
Yeah, definitely. Although you were talking to me in the week about the possibility of buying one, weren't you?
I was, but what happened? The weather turned, then it got rainy and cold and wet, and I stopped thinking about it. You know, I've got to be the ant, not the grasshopper. I've got to prepare for the weather, not just wait till it comes.
Yes. Right, we're on show 229. It's the third week in July, for anyone that's counting. Whateverworks.works is our website. The MeWe group is where we hope you'll talk to us about whatever works in your lives so we can natter about it on the show. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. And... yeah.
Very good. I thought you'd forgotten the housekeeping, Ted. So well done. You got in there with it.
Yes. Should we get to our camp coffee tasting?
Yes. Now, this needs a slight introduction, doesn't it? Because listeners may not remember because it was a few shows ago now. We had camp coffee on the show. And you know what? To my shame, I can't remember why we had camp coffee on the show. Can you?
So one of our listeners had written in to say they still use it.
Right, and you and I both said, "Well, that's use it. We've never tasted the stuff, so I bought some. You couldn't. I trotted down to Tesco and bought a bottle of camp coffee, and you couldn't get any. So what did we do? Well, I decanted half the camp coffee into a little Highland Spring water bottle and sent the rest in the post to you, which I believe has safely arrived.
Yeah, with sellotape all around the top. It was very cute. Well done.
Well, I wanted it to be well sellotape, but I tried to do it in one long continuous piece. So did it all unwrap properly?
Yeah, it was fine, thank you. I just did it this morning because I read on the bottle that you're supposed to keep it in the fridge. So since it arrived, it has indeed been in the fridge. And I now have got it out. There's also no instructions on it about how to make it.
Sorry, go on, after you.
So, I just went online to try and find some instructions. And what I could find was that it said, for a standard cup of camp coffee, the general recommendation is 2 teaspoons of coffee mixed with hot water or milk. So that seems to be probably what we should do,
yes.
Do you think?
I asked my new best friend, Google Gemini, who told me basically the same, that, that the reason that the instructions are not on the bottle is because it's not really a coffee as such. It is a hickory coffee mixture, and people make it to their own taste. At least that was the excuse Gemini came up with. So, yeah, I've learned basically the same thing. Yeah, I think you are the same as me, Ted, in that I have in front of me a little vessel of hot water and... some milk and a teaspoon and a coffee mug, and I'm getting ready, as I believe you are too, to do the deed and put this coffee together.
I've got some sugar here as well, because I'm predicting that it's going to taste revolting, and I'm right. Okay.
Oh, Gemini told me it was quite sweet. Right, I'm opening up mine. Well, maybe it's just as well we've forgotten who brought it on the show. Then if it tastes like we can just blame. Well, we can't blame them because we don't know who they are anymore.
Right, I've got 2 teaspoons of camp coffee in there.
Oh, it's thick. It's like crude oil, isn't it? It's like making coffee with oil. Right, that's the camp coffee. This is just perfect radio, this, isn't it?
So are we putting any milk in it, or just?
I'm going to put milk in. I don't do black coffee, so I'm going to make mine as if it was an ordinary coffee, an ordinary instant coffee, and add milk. I'm just adding the water now, and it is indeed looking and sort of smelling like an ordinary black coffee thus far. What stage are you at, Mr. Salmon?
I've just poured what I would normally put in from my Tesco 6-pound flask.
Yes.
Into the... Right, so I'm going to stir it now.
I was wrong. Smelling it now, it doesn't really smell like coffee. It does indeed smell... Well, I don't know what chicory smells like, but if you told me this was chicory, then that's fine.
It does smell like chicory. I know what it tastes like.
Right. The water's going in. The milk, sorry.
Oh, it needs a little taste of it.
Oh, you're tasting. How dare you? I'm not ready to taste yet.
what I was going to say was, before I put any milk in, I'll taste it as it is.
Oh, I see. I should have done the same. Yes, do. Okay, I missed that stage. I'm stupid. I went straight for the milk.
I'm going to do this now. Are you ready?
I'm ready. And ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ted Salmon is tasting the camp coffee, and the answer is...
It tastes like chicory. It doesn't taste like coffee at all.
There's a surprise. Well, I've added the milk, and I had to add a lot of milk, more than one would in a cup of coffee, and I'm now going to taste with milk. Oh, it is sweet. Oh, my Lord, it's sweet. Oh, God, that's sweet. Oh, Ted, you won't want to put sugar in that. It's like...
Right, I put some milk in it now.
Do you know what? It tastes like a bad Starbucks coffee. It just tastes oversweetened, very milky.
Have you ever tasted Barley Cup?
I have not.
Barley Cup was something that was doing the rounds in the kind of 1980s. It was very popular at the time. You can still buy it in places like Holland and Barrett. And it's basically a coffee replacement. And that tastes very much like Barley Cup to me.
It's not unpleasant. Dear listeners, I would certainly not recommend it. It's a pleasant drink. I don't really know that I'd liken it so much to coffee. But I suppose coffee is the closest thing one could liken it to, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all right. I could drink that.
I can drink that. I'll be finishing this during the course of the show. I've got a cup of tea on standby just in case. But I shall go on drinking this.
Okay, well, thank you for the challenge, whoever did it. And that was certainly a bit of new... Right, now, before we get on with the show, I've also... You threw out me a challenge to get this...
While buying the camp coffee, I discovered the joys of iced coffee. I had a couple of times in the past bought these ready-mixed, you know, you buy like you would buy a litre of milk. You can buy a litre of ready-made cafe latte or whatever they want to call it. And that's delicious. And then I discovered these concentrate ones, rather like this camp coffee, actually, but to make an iced coffee. And I bought and tried one of those, which was a Nescafe espresso. And my goodness, it was yummy. And I've been in the hot weather. That's now my go-to. I've been waxing lyrical about freshly squeezed orange juice. Well, I'm sorry, that's out the window now. I'm now drinking this wonderful iced coffee, which you basically just make it as if it was coffee. You pour it in the bottom of a glass and add a lot of milk to it. And I gather you're about to do a test. You've never tried it and you're about to taste one, yes?
I don't believe that I've ever tasted iced coffee in my life. I think I've had iced tea, but not iced coffee. So I prepared along with the instructions on this Nescafe Espresso concentrated vanilla flavour, which is different to your... You've got the original one.
Yes, I've just got the coffee flavour, yeah.
I fancied the vanilla one. And I've put ice in it, and the recommended shot, and a load of milk, and this is the new taste test.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ted Salmon is now tasting the ice coffee. And the verdict
well,
is...
Yeah, well, it tastes like iced coffee. it tastes exactly... It doesn't even taste like quality coffee. It tastes like Nescafe coffee, which it probably is.
Well, now, the only thing I can offer is that you've bought the vanilla flavour. So the vanilla, the sugaring and the sweetness and the flavouring of the vanilla may tarnish the actual very tasty taste of the coffee version. So I can't comment on the vanilla.
It doesn't taste sweet. It just tastes like coffee. I can taste the vanilla flavouring on it. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But laying that aside, it just tastes like... It tastes exactly like it would if I got some Nescafe granulated coffee, made up a cup of coffee and stuck it in the fridge and drank it the next day. It's exactly what it tastes like.
Yes, I can certainly concur with that. I imagine that's what all iced coffee tastes like, coffee that went cold and was put in the fridge. But isn't it funny? Don't you find, Ted, a cold coffee, i.e. a room temperature that's just not hot anymore, is revolting? But an iced coffee that's been in the fridge and is at a really cold temperature is delicious.
Okay. No, I drink cold coffee quite a lot, but I've never had iced coffee. What I did discover, though, is after I headed to Tesco to try and find this Nescafe Espresso concentrated iced vanilla, was that there's loads of these things, even in a poxy little Tesco like we've got. There's just tons of them, and lots of them are made by Tesco themselves. Concentrated tea, concentrated coffee, cold brew coffee, apart from the brand names of Nescafe and all the rest of it. I had no idea that this was a thing. People are not... They're making up cold coffee. Or perhaps you can have this hot as well, can you?
That I wouldn't know. But yes, as you say, there's cold coffee, which was very big for a while. This idea of slow, slow, drip, drip cold coffee brew. And you can now buy that as well in bottles. It's just the latest bandwagon that everyone's getting on. But like yourself, Ted, I didn't realise until I went to buy the camp coffee that this existed. So we've discovered a wormhole here.
Indeed. Well, I could drink camp coffee and I could certainly drink the iced coffee. It's very nice and I like the vanilla twinge to it as well.
Yes, here is to coffees of all hues. Cheers.
Hurrah, the experiment done.
Lovely. Right.
Danny Hoy is next.
Okay.
He has would like to highlight the fact that if you go to AliExpress, you can grab a £20 bag. It's called a grab bag and bundle. Actually, he ended up paying £14 for it. I'm not quite sure why, but anyway. I noticed that the AliExpress website was doing a special bundle deal where you can buy a certain set of items in the promotion that adds up to a certain value. And you get free shipping on the slow boat, I guess. And it's fast as well in my experience. Perhaps it's not a slow boat. I noticed a few times I would like that I can order... I haven't edited this. A cost-effective manner. In no particular order, the items he got in his grab bag were a mini LED torch, a mini thermal printer, wow, 3x thermal paper for
Goodness.
The printer, USB-C equipped endoscope, mini monocular, and a USB-C infrared emitter. All of them for a grand total of £14. I've tested all the items, he says, and they work pretty well. And it's amazing how low the cost was. Fascinating what you can get for your money if you look around. Good shout, Danny. And yes, you're quite right. We should use AliExpress more already. Perhaps if it's been delivered fast, perhaps they've now got some sort of storage thing outside of where they normally work from in the Far East. Perhaps they've got UK warehouses or European warehouses or something.
I'm just trying to unboggle my mind here. I mean, that list you read out, £14. OK, a mini LED torch on its own, I'd accept for £14. A mini monocular would probably be £14. But all of those, a printer and the printer paper and an endoscope, they must be terrible products.
Yeah.
Wow.
He says that they work. They work okay, though.
Goodness, so, Danny, you may have found an Aladdin's cave there. Do you know what also amuses me? The word bundle. You know, that disappeared from my life for decades. When I was at school, a bundle was when a load of lads all dived on top of each other for a wrestling match. And then the word just vanished. And it seems to have come back in the last 10 years to mean deals in companies and websites. It's a bit weird.
Just bundling things
whenever
together.
Whenever I hear the word bundle, I still think of lads all diving on top of each other in the school playground. But yeah, maybe that's just me.
That's because you went to a posh school, you aloof git.
That's probably because I was the one on the bottom. Daniel B. brings us a Therminator undercoat de-shedding tool. £15, 59 pence. I thought this was something to do with sheds in the garden, but it's actually a de-shedding tool, as in taking fur off small pets, in this case, dogs. Daniel says this brush has complete... Oh, no, it's Daniel's cat, not his dog. Daniel says this brush has completely changed how much fur I can get off my cat. She sheds much less, resulting in less fur on our clothes and furniture, and it's much faster than was the old brush. Definitely a must-have for fur baby owners. So, an efficient fur brush, an efficient brush for brushing the fur off small critters.
Looks lethal. It looks like the end of my head thingy shaver thingy.
It does. It looks like you're going to shave the pets. How does it work, Daniel? Does it just brush, or do you actually cause some blades to move back and forth in some way? As you say, Ted, it looks a bit nasty.
There's a short hair one and a long hair one as well. So the long hair one looks even more lethal. Blimey. Yes, we shall see what happens.
I once had a long-haired lover from Liverpool, but never mind. Move on.
Chris Kelly is next on chicken wings. After being room 101'd on the last show, he says, I'm very much of the opinion that the closer to the bone, the sweeter the meat. Now, my ex-wife, who was from the Philippines, always said that to me. She chose to have the wings. She chose to have the get to as closest to the bone as you can. And she said the same thing as Chris. The meat is just so much tastier right next to the bone.
That's interesting, because I think I mentioned on the last show when we talked about it that I used to have a great penchant for frog's legs. I haven't eaten them for years now, but they were gorgeous. And that may be the same thing, because they're tiny little bits of meat absolutely directly by the bone. Interesting.
Yeah. So Chris finishes up by saying, I think, therefore, that the wings are the best bits of the chicken. Contrary, he's taken it out of room 101. We treated ourselves to KFC at the weekend. Oh, I love KFC. And I selected the bucket of 20 hot wings for $7.99. Yum, yum.
I love KFC too. It's a once in a very, very rare blue moon treat for me these days. Lovely.
Yeah.
Ali Foot brings us Polymorph. The trade name for a clever reusable plastic, in this case, moulded plastic pellets. Now, you know what? I read through this and I got terribly excited and I thought, why have I never discovered this? Ali, thank you for this. You add hot water to the plastic granules to melt them into a clear, putty-like substance. You can apply or mould it into any shape, and as it cools, it hardens back into a stiff, very resilient plastic that can even be drilled and tapped. It has endless uses. Ear, what's tapped? Educate me, Ted. Drilled and tapped.
Tapped.
What does tapped mean?
Doesn't it mean that you put a thread in something?
Oh, maybe. Yes. Okay, thank you. After use, says Ali, it can be remelted and reused. Even for, as Amazon seems to point out, Halloween vampire teeth fangs. £7.99 for 10 ounces. I don't know what that is in new money.
That's really funny.
This looks like something that will be so much up my street. I could have so much fun. And, you know, he talks about a million uses. Well, I think 500,000 of them are mine in the back garden. I've got a pond in the garden. I don't know if I've ever mentioned.
But what's interesting is how of those million and one uses, they've purposely singled out Halloween vampire teeth fangs.
Yeah, well, there you are. That's the world we live in. Ali, thank you for that. I think I'm going to have to buy myself some. That really does look like a fun product.
Polly balls.
I beg your pardon?
Polly balls.
Matron.
Polymorph balls, isn't it?
Have you taken your tablets today, Ted?
Oh, no, pellets. Polymorph pellets.
I see. Sorry, I was completely lost there. I had no idea what you're talking about. Tell us about fish and chips.
That's what they're called. I did a fish and chips survey on pricing because my dad, about 2 weeks ago now, called in half unexpectedly with fish and chips for the two of us. And I haven't had fish and chips from a chip shop for decades, literally decades. And I thought, oh, that sounds like fun. So we ate them out of the paper, not newspaper, sadly. I just thought I would see how the prices compare. So I threw it out to the group to see what people were saying. In North Wales, my dad told me that they were £5.70 per portion, which was small cod and chips. But actually, there was plenty of chips, and the small cod was not really small. It was perfectly good enough for both of us. They were, however, I will say, horribly greasy. And I remember that from, you know, back in the day when I did go to chip shops. And when you get used to oven chips or even chips from McDonald's or something.
Yes.
They're just so greasy from the chip shop. And I guess that's what people want and that's what they like. But anyway.
Can I just point out, you have written in our notes here, horribly greasy, but somehow nice. So you're not complaining, are you?
I think it's nostalgic, isn't it? And however many spots I might get afterwards, you know, it's just about nostalgia and going to the chip shop and eating out of paper. And it was just good fun almost. But anyway, I'm in North Wales, £5.70 per portion. So I threw it out to the group, and there was about a few responses, maybe up to a dozen responses. So quickly run through between us the different prices. London, someone said, large cod and chips are 15 quid.
Oh, ouch.
Cleethorpes, which I think is in the northeast somewhere, isn't it? Middlesbrough, that way, 8 quid.
Wow, I've got another 15 here in Beckenham. Where's that? Is that a London district? I'm not sure.
Beckenham, yeah, London.
Large cod, large chips, mushy peas, and a sausage, £15. And we're up in Norfolk, £10.
Yeah, so South Norwood in London, an OAP portion, which we weren't offered here apparently, is £6.50, which the person said is more than they can eat. Then Phil jumped in from Malaysia and said that in Malaysia we can get fish and chips, and they're about £7 equivalent in the money that you would... not far off the same kind of average here so far.
I'm showing my appalling geography here. Herne Bay, where's that?
Herne Bay, I think, is in Kent. I could be wrong, though.
Well, if you go to Kent, you can buy a portion of fish and chips. Portion sizes are huge, it says, between £10 and £13. Or if you fancy taking a ferry to the Isle of Wight, I know where that is, an OAP small portion is £10. Ooh, that's quite expensive. Then again, it's an island. Yeah.
Someone said the southwest you're likely to pay £13, and Ullapool. Where's Ullapool? I don't know where that is. Oh, is it in Wales? I don't know. Anyway, in Ullapool, wherever that is, it's 14 quid. And last word to Scott Brady, our good friend across the pond in America. We don't have fish and chips in America. There was once one fast food chain that served them when I was a young lad, but I think they closed down 50 years ago, never to be seen again. No fish and chips in America. Oh, that's a bit sad, isn't it?
Here, Ullapool's in Scotland. It's way, way, way up at the top of Scotland, almost before you fall off the edge of the map. So there you are.
So much for our geography. Anyway, thanks for your feedback, everyone. It looks like it ranges from like £15, tending to be in the south, to £7 or... in actual fact, I think North Wales turned out to be the cheapest, didn't it?
I think
£5.70.
That's right. I think you did very well there. Yeah. I think London, what a surprise, turned out to be the most expensive.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for chipping in, everyone.
Thank you indeed. Ed Howes brings us the... Oh, by the way, I'm nearly at the... I finished. I've just picked up my cup. I finished the coffee. I've done the camp coffee, and I can't say I'm gagging for another cup, I'm afraid, but good test. Right, Ed Howes brings us the Lumos Pro Writing Brush Pen. This is a refillable pen, says Ed, advertised as an eco-alternative to biros, but the tips will wear out, and they're likely made from mixed plastic fibres and metal, judging by the pictures, and so they won't be able to be recycled. Plus, he says, the ink reservoirs are also of the same plastic fibre and so will wear out too. So eventually the whole lot will probably go into the landfill after a couple of months. Now, he goes on, a humble fountain pen can write for a lifetime without much beyond a good flush, and the ink can be taken from the bottle to the pen without an absorbent plastic cartridge. Of course, cartridges for fountain pens are less good, but piston converters are available for basically any brand, so there really is no need to use cartridges at all.
Okay, so the point of this is that you shouldn't be buying cartridges and you should be using ink and doing it the old-fashioned way.
Yes, you shouldn't be buying cartridges, nor should you be, in fact, buying the writing brush pen, which is full of little bits and pieces that are also not good for the environment. So he's basically saying stick to biros and pens.
Fair point. Okay,
thank you, Ed. See what you did there? Oh, never mind.
Right, okay, so Dad's kettle gave up the ghost since we last recorded, and I jumped onto Amazon. I thought, right, which one should we get? So I selected one. I thought it'd be quite nice for him to be able to see through the kettle. So I got this all glass one. Not all glass. I mean, there's plastic on it as well, but it's basically glass. The spout is glass, which is a bit of a worry, because I think one of us eventually will kind of break it, smash it against a tap or something. Anyway, it's a 3 litre, a 1.5 litre, 3,000 watt, 3 kilowatt, is that?
Watt?
Yeah, 3 kilowatt. stainless steel inner lid, fast boil, and when you put the switch on to boil it, you get this blue LED right around the base, which actually, apart from being quite nifty to look at, is really good for my dad, because one of his complaints about the old one, it was that it wasn't very clear with his with his aging eyesight, to see that it was actually on. And you can also fill it up to whatever level you want to, so not wasting water and electricity. You can see very clearly, you want to make one cup of coffee, then you can just put enough water in for that. So, and I was just surprised that all of that, I know it's not a smart kettle that we've covered on the show before, but I was surprised that all of that, £25, and it was it's really nice. So as long as we don't, between us, break the spout particularly, we should be okay.
Very nice. I mean, I haven't had the joy of buying a kettle for a long time because my mother and I are still very happy with our Morphy Richards hot water dispenser that I brought onto the show some years ago. Let me have a look. Amazon says I purchased it in 2019, and I think that was the replacement already. I kind of miss kettles. So it's nice to hear that you've had a success with one that you're enjoying using. Nice.
Now, after the last show, you were supposed to be preparing a new jingle for my new section. Has he done it?
I did. I'll play it for you now. Salmagundi, Blimey. Salmagundi, listen to Ted's Salmagundi. Thank you. That was a jingle. You can carry on now.
Are we doing this section? The idea was that I've got this blog called Ted Salmagundi, and I kind of chuck stuff on there, along with reviews, serious reviews, but also some light-hearted items, one of which was the some guy in Italy had made the world's slimmest, narrowest Fiat Panda, which was 19 inches wide. I did post this in the MeWe group, so if anyone wants to see it, then you can click through there. There was some question, I think, about whether this was real and whether it was. I mean, it clearly is not roadworthy, and this guy works in a scrapyard in Italy, so that lots of Fiat devices are going to be around for him. And he apparently has. It doesn't look as though it's a Photoshop. It read as if he'd actually done this, and he was an enthusiast, and it looks really, really funny because it's got one headlight on the front and a really, really thin body shape, and he just about gets inside it. It might be not true, but I thought, what a nice idea, what a quirk someone would have fun with that.
Yes, I agree. And in fact, this was in our show notes on the last show when we had Steve Litchfield as a guest. And you and I and Steve discussed it a little bit off air and came to basically the same conclusion that it is genuine, but it certainly would never be roadworthy. I mean, it would fall over at the slightest breath of wind. It would just topple over. It's like a bicycle, basically. Great fun. And I agree with you, Ted. I do think it's not a Photoshop cheat or an AI creation. I'm sure the man really did make it for fun, but with no intention of actually driving it.
Yeah, definitely. So anyway, that was one of my Salmagundi one thingies. There was another one, though,
another
which Salmagundi, I'll hand over to you.
Yes, another Salmagundi one thingy was Ahmed Bieber's brought in a bladder control. There's a lovely picture here of the passengers. No, it's not the passenger. It's the driver's seat in a car, and between the driver's legs on the floor is a very large, like one of these bottles where you'd buy like sort of 5 or 6 litres of cooking oil in a plastic vessel. And then there's seems to be an upside down Coca-Cola bottle, small one, with the bottom cut off, stuck in to make a sort of funnel into which, should you need to, you may urinate in an emergency situation.
You put your plonker.
You plonk your plonker in the cut-up bottle and hope for the best. Yes. I think
not very female friendly.
Not female friendly and not terribly elegant. There are better solutions, in fact. As I myself brought onto the show a while back, if you remember, I bought Travel Johns.
Which
are these bags that can be used either for peeing in or for throwing up in. And they're wonderful because they've got this fantastic chemical substance in them. Excuse me. Oh, dear, I think this is my camp coffee coming back up now.
Allergic to chicory.
Yes. No, it's probably allergic to the idea of peeing in Ahmed Bieber's car into a plastic bottle. Anyway, no, these things are fantastic because they've got some chemical in them, and whatever liquid, be it urine or vomit or whatever, it turns to gel. So I've used these on occasions. Yeah. I have been taken short and had to, you know, in hiding in the corner of a car park, I might sort of shuffle around in the car and make use of one of these things. And it is incredible. I mean, I would say within about 30 seconds of using it, you could turn it upside down and nothing would come out because the whole thing's turned to gel. It's very, very clever. And a little more elegant than your solution, then, Ahmed. I'm sorry. And one day I'll learn to say Ahmed first shot without getting it wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes to my Ted Salmagundi, my blog, where various things get dumped up and just talked about. So do go and have a look at my blog for all the good stuff and all the silly stuff.
Indeed. And now a jingle that actually does exist.
I wonder who bought it.
You may remember a couple of shows ago, you did your I Wonder Who Bought It, and it was me. It was the Salt of the Earth refillable natural deodorant spray. And so, you know, I fessed up and said, oh, that was me. And you quite rightly said, well, then what do you think of it? And I said, I don't know, I haven't used it yet. Well, I have now, and I rather wish I hadn't. I'm afraid I am.
Oh.
I am very disappointed. The thing is, when you use a normal, I'd say normal in inverted commas, of course, deo, the kind that I normally use in a spray can, you know, you lift your arm up, you spray it, and it sprays a fine mist of deo under your armpit, and within a few seconds it's dried, and you can put your shirt on. I presume I've got that right, and most people go through that experience. This stuff, you lift your arm, you squirt it. It's like squirting sticky water under your armpit. And then it just sits there and it doesn't dry and it sits there and it sits there. And after several minutes, you think, well, am I going to just put my shirt on and get this sticky stuff on my shirt? Or am I going to just wipe it off with a tissue? And then that negates the point of putting it on in the first place. It's not deodorant. It's just sticky water that doesn't dry. I'm afraid I'm really not happy with it and probably won't continue to use it, which is a great shame for the environment and for my wallet because I paid money for it. But I'm glad I tried it. I did my best, but I'm afraid for the time being, I think I'm going to have to stick to spray cans, the ones that I normally use, until I can find an Echo version that's a little more reliable or at least dries that you can put on and then get dressed without having to wait half an hour first.
I wonder if it's something to do with the fact that it's a plunge mechanism as opposed to a aerosol air firing.
Yeah, I wonder that. And I mean, I'd have to be bothered to do some research and find out. It could be that the aerosol, you get very, very, very fine particles. And as you say, this just gives you a squirt like you're spraying weed killer on the garden or something. But maybe I'll try weed killer. That might be more efficient.
I use roll-on deodorant when I use deodorant. And I find that it is a bit wet, but, it soon dries. So I don't know, perhaps it is the way in which it dispenses it.
Yeah, I think it may be, because even if it was a better dispenser and sprayed it as a mist rather than as almost a single squirt, I think that's the problem, that you're getting what... I mean, again, I stupidly didn't bother to look closely to be able to tell you how many jets are coming out of this nozzle. You know, I'm useless at this programme. But perhaps it just should be spraying in a finer mist rather than more of a condensed, like a hose pipe. Yeah.
You've taken a long time to conclude that you're crap at this.
I am. Let's move on. Tell us about something else then. I didn't like the deodorant. Get over it.
Somebody has kindly bought the Mattify Fly Killer electric insect killer,
which
is one of these zapper thingies, which you typically see them on the walls in kebab shops and stuff, and it glows with a kind of blue normally light,
yes,
and it attracts various bugs and stuff to it, and it zaps them, and it's great fun when you are sitting there minding your own business and you suddenly hear this bang. And works really well. Anyway, someone's bought this one, and I thank you for that. I'll come a bit later in the show to one that I bought myself, which is slightly different to this one. This is 20 watts of zapping.
Right.
It's 30 quid, and it looks like it works really, really well. It's a very nice design, a bit like my own. And there's also different types. I couldn't quite work out what the difference between them was, but there's one... actually, this has gone up to 30 quid now. It was a bit less than that, I think. There's a type B, which is 36 quid, and there's a type A. So I'm not quite sure what the difference is, frankly. But anyway, some really really good ideas going on with regards to getting rid of bugs.
Now then, a bit devil's advocate-y. Advocate-y here. This is not meant as a criticism. It's really more a plea for education, because I'm curious. I've never been able to understand. I've never been comfortable with the idea that to get rid of something, you have to first attract it to you. You know, this UV fly killing, for instance, and I thought also of citronella candles and honey-coated flypaper and these sort of things, where you're far, far from trying to get rid of the critters you don't want. You're actually saying, come on, come on, come over here. Look, isn't this nice? And attracting them. So, you know, if I was sitting outside having a picnic, I would not want to put out sticky flypaper to attract the insects. I would want to just hope that the insects would bugger off and leave me alone. So... as a user of these things, do you find that it actually does, it gets rid of more insects than it attracts? Or rather, it just gets rid of the insects that would have probably been there anyway?
If you don't have any food around you, it's like the whole argument about wasps, isn't it? If you don't have any food, anything that's attractive to insects and creatures, they won't come near you. The problem comes is when you're cooking... I remember when my mum used to make this lovely fruitcake, which we spoke about on the show yonks ago. The place was full of flies, and the reason was because they're just attracted to the smell of the cooking. If you didn't cook fruitcake, there would be no flies there. And so when you've got a commercial kitchen particularly, you're supposed to put one of these zappers on the wall, because you can't stop flies coming into the kitchen. And if you're preparing food, particularly commercially, you've got to be seen to be keeping a control of flies landing on the food you're preparing. And similarly, with my citronella candle, which I've brought to the show before, and honey-coated flypaper, it's dealing with the situation that they're here already. It's not attracting them as such. In fact, citronella candles do the opposite. The flies hate the smell of that so much that they just go away. They're not being sucked in to zap them. It's a deterrent. They go away, and it works really well.
Okay, Hands up. You're quite right. I stand down. I stand corrected. I have learned. I'm not so crap at this show as I was 5 minutes ago. Thank you.
Thank you very much to my mystery buyer. In any case, the Maffy T Fly Killer, which is the thing that they bought. And I don't know who's bought that, but I do know the stuff has been bought. So if you go to Amazon, please use my affiliate link, because it does render me a few pennies on what you buy. And the shopping experience is just the same for you. You need to just go in to Amazon via tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and I'll love you forever.
So will I.
Still using and still using.
Now, still using, I'll go first, because this is a very much related item to the Maffy T Fly Killer that we just spoke about. And this is my one. I'm still using my fly zapper.
Yes, which, all right.
Which is the Aspect Tech one, which I brought to Whatever Works in 2019 when it was £33. And I just looked at the price of it. It's now £48. So it's like £20 more than my mystery buyer's one with the other one. But it is very good, I have to say. And it still works. So, you know, 6 years later, it's still going. Whenever I turn it on, the bulbs, none of it's blown or anything. And it works really well. So I'd like to say I'm still using my Aspetek fly catcher, even though it's £48. You might be better to buy the Maffy T one at £30.
And I now understand why, and I'm very happy with it. I'm still using, or that is to say, I'm still working my way down my supply of 50 by kitchen air fryer parchment paper liners. These are the very clever liners that I discovered for air fryers. Rather than, you know, I mean, anyone who owns an air fryer knows that it doesn't take much time for it to get dirty and thick with nasty, gunky, oily crap that collects in the bottom underneath the rack. And these things prevent that from happening because they collect it for you and you then chuck them away. You use it as many times as you feel you need to. Once you think it's getting a bit rank, you chuck it away and you put in a new one. And that way the air fryer stays almost virgin. It only needs a brief clean now and again. And all the crap goes into these paper disposable things instead. They come in various sizes for different air fryers. You can have them with or without lift tabs, which are quite neat. They're the little bit that's sort of extra bit that's cut on there so that you can get them out of the air fryer more easily, and I find them very useful. You know, that's all they do. They have one purpose, but they do it extremely well. You pop it in the bottom of your air fryer. When it starts to get a bit gunky, you throw it away and you pop in another one instead. And I'm very pleased. I bought a pack of 50. It'd be interesting if I can find out when I bought them, because I'll let you know in due course. But I'm still
December 24.
Well, thank you very much indeed, sir. So it's taken me that long to get through about half of them. So I've still got about 25 to go, and have every intention of buying another pack when they run out. Of course, they're very useful. The end.
The worrying bit is that you'd already put the data regarding when you bought them in the show notes. And you clearly... Have you been to the optician lately?
I was busy on Amazon, frantically trying to find my "you last purchased this on" section. I told you, I'm crap at this show.
I just got to the tail end of this camp coffee. I did stir this camp coffee really well when I made it, but I've just got to the tail end of it, and it suddenly became really, really sweet, as if it didn't mix properly. So perhaps, did you find that?
No. Did you put milk in yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. No, mine got to the bottom tasting all equally okay.
No, well, it's very sweet now.
All right, I've already moved onto me Earl Grey. I'm a much happier boy now.
Yeah, I suppose camp coffee is cheap as chips, isn't it?
It is.
Did you what? How much was that bottle? I can't remember now.
Was it £2.99? It was £2 and something, yeah. I think. So yeah, not. I mean, if you like camp coffee and you're going to get quite a few drinks out of that bottle, then it's well worth it. Whether or not you and I will ever drink it again is another matter.
Yes. I'll tell you something else that's cheap as chips. It's the White Wall Thermometer. £3.95. And I think this was an I Wonder Who Bought It, actually, a while ago. But or anyway, it's probably you that's bought it. You know those little sticky on ones that we've kind of put on the show now and again that are on the wall, which I'm looking at right now.
Oh, the ones that change colour according to the temperature.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think they're designed to stick on fish tanks.
But yes, anyway, that's right.
I'm looking at one across the wall, across the room from me, and I cannot see where the colour change is without a pair of binoculars.
Yeah.
That's no good at all. Anyway, these ones that I'm linking to here would fix that because they're very traditional, very old-fashioned. They've got a very clear red mercury, whatever it is.
Flow I was going to say, it can't be mercury these days, can it? I'm wondering what they're using now.
But anyway, so I think for £3.95, I know they're going to be... I mean, those sticky on ones, I'm still trying to work out if it's what... I think they were about, you know, a quid for six or something.
Oh, they were very cheap, yes, yes, indeed.
So £3.95 for one, there is a cost element, but I think it'll be much better, don't you?
Well, first of all, it wasn't me what bought it. But I wish it had been. I mean, Vive l'Analogue, this is lovely. And I say Vive l'Analogue for two reasons. First of all, because as you know, I'm a old-fashioned pedant and I love all the old technology and I'm very pleased to see an old-fashioned thermometer getting put into the show. Also, because I'm getting a little bit disappointed with the inaccuracy of the digital ones. I mean, there's that lovely thermometer that you and I have that are made by, what's it called? I've got it in front of me here. Yushiko, Yushiko, which is a inside and outside digital thermometer. And we've got two or three in the house, and I think you've got at least one. But I find that they don't concur with each other. If you put them in the same room, they'll give you different temperature readings side by side. I'm beginning to wonder if you really do only get what you pay for and you have to jump into the bracket of the really expensive sort of £100 plus thermometers before you can properly get accurate readings. So this was all by way of saying I wonder whether this cheap one that you found, being a good old-fashioned traditional analogue thermometer, might actually be more accurate as well as being fun to have.
Yeah, yeah. I would expect that to be the case. It just because of the way it looks. I know it's basically a lump of plastic, but just because of the way it looks, it fills you with more confidence. I think that it's going to work properly. Anyway, there you go. Ted's top tips. Now, I was watching this film with Florence Pugh in it a couple of months ago, called We Live in Time. And it's a really good film, actually. Highly recommended. And she is a chef in this film. And one of the things that came out from this was that she was cracking eggs to cook with her daughter in the kitchen. And she was teaching her child that you don't use a knife to crack your eggs. You don't use the corner of anything sharp. You don't. What you do is you get a chopping board or a surface of any kind, really, and you bring the egg down on the surface and you, basically smash it on the surface. When you open it up, because you've done it in that kind of flat way and not that sharp way, there's no chance of getting any shell into the place you're putting it into. And since I've seen that film, because I didn't know that at all, and since I've seen that film, when I've cracked an egg, I've done the same thing. And sure enough, it's very, very different. And I have been used to picking out bits of shell in the past as well. So maybe that's a thing that is true, even though it was only in a film. Any thoughts?
Okay, we've established that I'm crap at this show. Maybe I'm just brilliant at cracking eggs because I've always used a knife and I've very, very seldom had to fish out bits. I just hold the egg in one hand, I crack it with the knife in the other, and then I open it and out comes the egg. Maybe I'm doing something right. I don't know. Nope, sorry, can't comment on that.
You have the Midas touch.
Yes.
I've definitely noticed, though, and it made a difference to me. So anyway, your mileage may vary, dear listener.
Yes.
My other top tip is to make sure that you've only got black socks. So if you've got anything other than black, or no, not necessarily black, but any colour sock, but make sure your socks are all the same colour, because then you don't have to pair them up. You just chuck them in a drawer after they've been washed. You don't have to fold them or anything else. You just pick up any two socks together and put them on. That's my top tip. Don't have any odd socks.
Do you know what? I do agree with you, but I don't. I've tried this, and I have a couple of colours, maybe even three, but, you know, I have a lot of socks, and so it's easy to sort out the colours. But I am so pedantic and so anal that the socks are of different ages, which means they come out of the wash slightly different colours because the older socks are a little more faded than the newer socks.
Yeah.
And so I'm still sitting there with them on the bed trying to work out which one, even if they're all black, this one's a little darker black than that one, so it must be a newer sock. So it matches with this other dark one over here, and this is a light sock. So I agree with your advice, but not if you're someone as pedantic as Aidan Bell, then it just doesn't work.
Fair enough.
I want one of those.
Matt Jones really wants a wallet ninja. Yeah, this looks fun, and we've had them on the show before, in fact. Matt says, I wonder quite how useful some of the functions might be, but I can certainly see it being the kind of thing you put in your wallet and forget about, and then one day find it and it gets you out of a poke. £15 on Amazon. Well, it's funny you say you put it in your wallet and forget about it, because I think the last time we talked about these on the show, Ted, I said exactly that I had put it in the door of my car and completely forgotten about it. And when I came to buy my new car, I've got a new car, I don't know if I mentioned it. When I bought my new car last year, I found it in the door of the old car and thought, oh yes, I've forgotten all about these. Steve Litchfield brought them onto Whatever Works and we all got excited and bought one. I think you bought one too, didn't you, Ted? I think we all did when Steve brought them on a few years back.
I did, yeah.
Did you ever use yours? Did you lose it?
It sits in my wallet and I do see it when I go to my wallet, but I don't go to my wallet very often. Because, well, none of us do anymore, do we?
No, it's just because of your stingy git, Ted.
This one, the Wallet Ninja that Matt's talking about.
Yes.
It does look as though there is an incredible amount of tools on it. And the interesting thing also is that they've designed it in such a way that it tells you what they all are. It's actually printed on the face of the thing. And there's tons and tons and tons of different functions. It's just amazing. I don't think I've seen one with quite as many as that. Have you?
No, now that you say that, I'm looking closely at the picture, and indeed, I am seeing cell phone stand, screwdriver, yeah. Can opener, bottle opener, box opener for ripping open, oh yeah, when it's been taped up, eyeglass, whatever that means. Oh, I see, it means a teeny, teeny, weeny screwdriver for glasses. Yeah, okay. I don't doubt for one moment that it's very useful. But again, you know, an idiot like me, I just stuck it in the car and forgot I owned it. So you've got to, anything. It's like making a to-do list. You've got to remember to read it. Otherwise, it's pointless having it.
Indeed, yes. Anyway, thank you, Matt. A nice reminder for everyone. Right, okay. My last one, I want one of those, is the Loopgear SK05 Pro Rechargeable Aluminium LED Torch. Which looks an absolute beast. It's also an 8,000 mAh power bank. It's really, really bright. It's got various modes and floodlighting and spotlighting. It's IP68 certified. It is just over £100. Well, it was when I last looked. But I'm sure you can probably get one cheaper, but it's so cool.
Hey, limited time deal, minus 49%, £76 today.
Yeah, that's very tempting.
Goodness, isn't it tempting? Why have you brought this on the show, Ted?
So because it's a power bank, you can charge what you like with it. And not only that, but up to 20-watt charging as well, which is more impressive than a lot of other chargers. It's got a really good beam. It's got two rechargeable batteries inside. Now, the rechargeable batteries inside are quite interesting because it will work with just one of them in place. So if you've got one of them missing, it doesn't just stop working. You can, if you need to charge one of them and not the other one, you can put just one inside. How cool is that?
And
there's also a side light.
It gets worse. I told you £76. That's for the grey version. If you want to buy it in black, it's £59.
Well, that's going in my basket, I
think. Oh, Ted.
There's a side light. There's a magnetic tail cap. Actually, that side light, not to gloss over that, that is really nifty as well. So it's not only does the torch kind of shine out the end, but you can put it on its side or stand it on its end. You've got this kind of little light that you can put up to do little jobs while in the glow of. It's also got a clip, so you can clip it to where you like. The batteries that go inside it are rechargeable, but they are these 18650 ones or whatever they're called. So the only fly in the ointment here is it would be nice if they were AA rechargeables. But yeah. I think that the point about these 18650 ones are that they are more powerful than any AA rechargeables. Yeah. And so that's why they've chosen to use them. Mine is saying 76.49.
That's the wrong colour. That's grey. You need to look at black. To the left of the grey one is a black one, and it's 59 quid, and it's...
No, that's not the same one. That's the non-pro version. So it's only got a 6,000 milliamp hour battery inside it for a power bank. It's not as bright, so the lumens is less. Much of it is the same, but it's not as pro as the other one.
Oh, what a shame! I'm also a question. The IP68, does that mean it's fully waterproof? You could go diving with it.
Diving. Well, IP68 tends to mean and the 8-bit is the water resistance. The 6 is the dust resistance. But the 8 means pretty much. They say a meter of water for 30 minutes, I think, technically, or is it a meter and a half? If you went diving.
Sorry.
If you went diving, you know, in deeper water than that, probably not. But it's really nice. Even at £76.50, as you say, it's still a really nice, nifty little thing, isn't it?
It's very, very, very tempting, and I hate you.
Better
before. Now, this one will get letters. Chris Clayton says plastic straws were better before, and other disposable limited-use eating implements. Never forget what was taken away from us, says Chris. On my travels, the unabashed functionality of plastic straws has been a delight, with that sharp end to plunge into resistive lids. Oh, I hear you. And McDonald's have lost the plot, he says. Coffee with paper lids basically means I gave up their coffee. Apparently, McFlurries have paper spoons as well now. Not sure how that would even work.
Yeah, I do get that. Matt Jones also went to McDonald's the other day. He says, my wife and I had a salad, and when I was given a cardboard fork to eat it with, it barely lasted a couple of mouthfuls. I think when people are presented with workable options that are better for the planet, they'll happily get on board. But this silly game of making people struggle in the name of saving it pushes people away from the cause. Yeah, I do get that point. It kind of says, you know, this has got so ridiculous that I get the point, but it's impractical to work with these changes for in the name of the planet. So, yeah, there is that.
There is that indeed. And I totally agree with Matt and with you now. Yeah, I mean, absolutely, we must change. We must get rid of plastic. We must start using less plastic and find alternatives. But if alternatives don't actually work, it's not going to encourage anybody to do anything, is it? Mike Robbins says, I think bamboo straws are an option. If they can make underwear, surely. Yeah, and I agree. Yeah, bamboo is extraordinary. Yes, yes.
When Chris Kelly brought the bamboo underwear onto the show, I couldn't believe it. How could you make underwear out of bamboo? But apparently, as he demonstrated, they do, and you can. And so, yeah, why not make other stuff out of bamboo? Because that would be sharp, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I have bamboo sheets. They're lovely, lovely. But yes, and also, you can indeed make good, strong, sturdy things with it. I mean, I've got in front of me here, this is a little bamboo box that I brought onto the show many moons ago that holds my pens and scissors and things on my desk, and that's solid wood bamboo, so you could certainly make bamboo spoons and forks and things that wouldn't fall apart when you try to use them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
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 Whatever worked.
Right, I would like to bring on to whatever worked the colour changing egg timer, which I remember from this show, which was the next one we were both on, which was number 80 in April 2019. And this egg timer, you can still get it. We've got one kicking about somewhere. Unfortunately, we've now, well, my dad's bought this egg cooking device, and so we don't put eggs into boiling water anymore. But yeah, when we did, it worked really well. So you chuck this thing in the water with your egg, and it changes colour basically. And there's a little gauge on it to tell you when, you know, it's cooked soft cooked or medium cooked or hard cooked, and it works really well. So I do remember that, and I do remember playing about with it and testing it, and it worked absolutely wonderfully. The in the middle of the yellow colour, the red grows or shrinks. I can't remember which way around it is now. It either grows or shrinks to tell you how cooked it is. £5 it is, and I still think that was a good shout.
Excelente. I tell you what I'm bringing on. How could I not? Handbrake. This is a little piece of freeware that you brought onto the show a million years ago. And I downloaded and have not yet been able to catch out. It's an open source video transcoder. It's free. You stick it on your computer. And if, like me, you're using high-end video editing software such as Premiere Pro that you expect to work with anything, and then it suddenly says, oh, I can't read this, I can't transcode that, you say, never mind, I know someone who can. And you open Handbrake, and sure enough, Handbrake will be able to deal with anything you throw at it. Absolutely extraordinary. There it is, still there, still works, and I still recommend it.
Totally agree.
Oh dear, we're going to have a fight now, Ted. I want to put into Room 101 Google Shopping List. Or in fact, any Google list, it seems, after my experimentation. Because in this case, I actually did experiment before I came on the show. I can say we got a shopping list, right? So I can say Google keyword, put potatoes on my shopping list. Google keyword, add camp coffee to my shopping list. And it will add the things to my shopping list. And it's marvellously useful, because when I'm walking through the house and I think, oh my goodness, we haven't got any tissues. Google keyword, add tissues to the shopping list. And then when I get to Tesco and I look at my phone, there's tissues on the shopping list like magic. I love it. Except that I said to my mother, shall we maybe have fish and chips tonight? Which is ironic. We were just talking about fish and chips. And my mum said, yeah, perhaps. So I said, Google keyword, add maybe fish and chips to my shopping list. It says, OK, I've added those two items. It added fish and it added chips. If I say Google keyword, add steak and kidney pudding, it says, OK, I've added those two words, steak and kidney, as separate items. And so it goes on. Or I needed some white flour, but I knew that I needed to make a note to myself not to buy any white flour, because I'm running out and I need it quickly. So I said, Google keyword, add any white flour to my shopping list. OK, I've added flour. Google keyword, add more bananas to my shopping list. OK, I've added bananas. Google keyword, add Tuesday to my shopping list. I'm sorry, I don't understand. What I'm getting at is it only adds what it thinks are food items or known items to the list. So if you say Google keyword, add Tuesday happy wonderful to my shopping list, it won't add any of it, because it doesn't think that any of it are items worth adding. And I don't understand why the shopping list has this ridiculous function. I tried creating a new list and calling it Tesco and saying adding this to my Tesco list, and it was the same. It seems to be that if its unintelligent intelligence doesn't understand what you mean, it won't add it. So if you say add umbrella Bostick maybe, then it just won't, because it doesn't understand what you're talking about. And I think that's a huge failure, a huge problem, a huge error in Google. Google Notes is a lot better, because you can say to Google Notes, you know, take a note, and then you can say whatever gibberish.
You mean Google Keep?
Google Keep, sorry, yes, which is Google Notes. I say Google keyword, take a note, and it makes the note, and I dictate what I want, and it turns up in Google Keep, you just said, which is lovely. Except that also has an error, because sometimes I think, oh, I must set an alarm to remember to phone Ted. So I say Google keyword, take a note, and it says, what do you want to say? And I say, set an alarm to phone Ted. And all of a sudden it says, I cannot set alarms yet. And I didn't want it to set an alarm. I wanted to tell it that I want to set. So, you know, I just get frustrated with this bloody thing. Just not understanding English there. I've dug myself into a hole, which you'll no doubt criticise me for now. Over to you, Ted.
I can't really, because as you know, I don't talk to my computers. And to me, when I want to add something to my shopping list, I get my phone out and I type it into my list. And Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. Is life really too hectic and busy and full of everything that you haven't got time to just type something in?
Well, no, but not if, what if you're standing at the sink and you're peeling potatoes and your hands are wet and full of potatoes and you suddenly realise you've got the last potato in your hands? You can then say out loud, Google keyword, add potatoes to my shopping list.
Well, just do it later. The other observation I've got is that if you said to it, add quiche instead of cheese and ham quiche, or add flour instead of any white flour, then surely when you get to the shop, the key word of it being quiche or flour, it wouldn't matter if it's cheese and ham quiche, because when you're stood in front of it, you'll be saying, oh yeah, it's cheese and ham quiche that I want. Or you could just say meat pudding instead of steak and kidney pudding, if it's got a problem with that. You just, when you're stood in front of it in the shop and you see the word pudding, you'll say, oh, yeah, that's steak and kidney pudding.
That's a workaround, and I totally agree, and it can be done. But why should we have to find workarounds when what we actually want is a solution to a problem?
Just type it.
All right. Oh, that's better. Right, what have we got this week? Chris Kelly brings us Anchor Customer Service, who he'd like to give a gold star to after they issued a safety recall on 6 of their power banks. Wow, says Chris, a gold star for Anchor Customer Service. The serial number on my... So he was talking about having to replace one of their recalled power banks. A serial number on my son's device was unreadable, so I emailed Anchor with a screenshot of my Amazon order. In 4 minutes, they had confirmed that it was subject to the recall and offered me the choice of a replacement or a voucher. I chose a replacement, and in another 4 minutes, they confirmed that it would be processed in 3 to 7 days. Pretty good, I'd say. The old device is currently relegated to the 1940s air raid shelter in my garden, he goes on. 18-inch thick reinforced brick walls and a 12-inch reinforced concrete slab roof should contain the battery if it goes rogue, and at least only the spiders and woodlice will suffer if it does. And there's an addendum saying the next day, this morning, Anchor emailed me to say that the replacement has now been shipped.
Hurrah!
Yeah, I think on the one hand, excellent customer service. On the other hand, it's a safety recall. And I think, you know, were it simply that it was an aesthetic issue, it might have taken a lot longer. I think where there's a safety recall concerned, A, they're concerned for the safety of their customers, of course. B, they're concerned for their relationship with their customers and their standing in the world, and they want to get it done as quickly as possible. But nevertheless, yes, excellent service, Chris. Thank you.
We do like Anchor, a firm that we come back to very regularly on this show. And yes, I completely, laying aside Chris's gold star and Chris's example there, I just think they're a great company and they do some great stuff. And it's my go-to in many instances. So, yes, kudos to them. Okay, I reckon we're done here, young man.
I think we might be.
And we'll be back in a couple or 3 weeks, depending on how much content is kicking about. Whateverworks.works is our website, where you'll find links to all this claptrap we've been talking about today. AidanBell.com is Aidan's website, where he hangs out. TedSalmon.com is mine, where you'll find links to all the other audio podcasts that the team are involved in, as well as links to all of our lovely MeWe groups, and you can come and join us in those if you want to. We hope that you'll join particularly the Whatever Works MeWe group, where you'll tell us whatever works in your life, so we've got lots of fodder to bring to the show and we can entertain you for a good time to come. Right, Aidan, over to you for your regular and infamous, no, not infamous, famous last word.
My last word is help. I have three items in my Amazon. I now have a $7.99 plastic moldable beads. I have a £3.95 wall thermometer. And I have a £76 wonderful rechargeable light. Now, am I going to click buy or not? I'm really not sure. I better go away and think about it. Maybe somebody should give me a bundle.
Yeah. As long as you're on the bottom, yes. So to speak. Right, that's it then. One last thing to say, as always. Don't forget,
whatever works, costs a heck of a lot of money. Sorry, yes, works.
£76.
Plus.